Hey, everybody. This is Jen with Java and Genuflections. I know it has been a very long time. In fact, July of 2022, I announced, hey, I'm back. Well, I was back for one episode. But now I feel confident that I am back. And I think we should start with kind of a catch-up episode. So any of my listeners who, you know, I actually have a few, know about my struggles with my health and strange and bizarre disorders. And I have acquired a couple new ones. Now, I'm just diving right into this because I have some more, what I consider to be more exciting content that I really want to get to. In episode 2 specifically, I'm really ready to dive into some gardening with you guys. Going through my Wrapped, I discovered that my best episodes were actually gardening, which makes sense because I am a gardener, but I have been gone for a while, so it makes sense to do a little bit of catch up, right? Okay. So about, what was it? A year ago, it's been about a year. Actually January of 2023, I was able to go see a specialist at, UNMC, Nebraska Medicine in Omaha, Nebraska. Dr. Parawat Thai is a neurologist who specializes in the rarest disease that I have, which is erythromelalgia. It's EM for short. So I went because I needed to know what could be done, verify, you know, confirm the diagnosis, all of those things. I have some very good doctors, but this disorder is so rare. It's actually on the NORD National Organization of Rare Diseases. They don't even have enough people to do a solid, you know, study, really. So I had asked my physician for a referral to go see this doctor. I was initially told, hey, you know, there's really nothing can be done, there's no treatment. And I said, you know, please indulge me, send me over there. That led to 4 full months of doctor's appointments and testing and a lot of anxiety, honestly. I was being tested for various different kinds of cancers. I was being tested for hidden cancers. I was being tested for really rare genetic disorders, stiff person syndrome like Celine Dion has. You know, I've been in medicine for years as a paramedic and as a patient care tech and EMT, CNA. I mean, I've been in healthcare since 1996 until I became sick, and in 2016. Worked in every department. Phlebotomy was like one of my strongest suits. I had never heard of these tests, these labs that they were drawing, and some of them, you know, were send-outs. One of them took a month to come back. I mean, we're talking, you know, MS, ALS, just the list is just shocking how much I was being tested for, which I'm very, very thankful for. But the premise being that erythromelalgia is either primary or secondary, and is being caused, and when it's secondary, it's being caused by some other disease that is not being treated. Okay. So on my very first visit, Dr. Thai, who did not know me, looked at me and said, you know, I think you're diabetic. This is probably from being diabetic. I don't remember the exact words because it's been a little bit, but that was the thing. It's like, I think this is from diabetes, but we're going to do all of the testing. And so I went to the lab. I went to vascular studies. I did autonomic studies, table to, you know, I did tilt table, nerve testing. I mean, so, really, you know, nobody likes to have needles, you know, pushed into their muscles, although I will and then have electrical current run through them. But I will tell you, it was not as terrible as it sounds. So all of this testing led to the discovery that I have type 1 diabetes. A lot of people, you know, will correct me and say, oh, you have type 2 diabetes that's just out of control. No, I am insulin dependent type 1 diabetic. And one of the misperceptions is that you can't develop type 1 diabetes, you know, when you're over the age of 18. The reality is that 62% of new type 1 cases are in people over the age of 20. And I just recently turned 51. Yes, so I'm over that. And I was diagnosed in April of this year. My sugar was extremely high. I was not in diabetic ketoacidosis, but I was, you know, I was pretty sick. And so the labs came back and I had to start insulin immediately that day, as soon as those labs came back. The interesting thing is that the labs came back and I had a GAD65, GAD65, and it was off the charts high. And, you know, I Googled it, which Google is the fastest way to find out that you're dying. I, you know, misdiagnosed myself and, you know, was horribly upset. But by the time I got the type 1 diagnosis, honestly, I was actually relieved because of all of the things that I was looking at that were immediately fatal. Not happy to have type 1 diabetes, I will tell you that, but it's treatable. So started the insulin, like I said, in April, got started with endocrinology. But leading up to it, I asked for a referral to see this doctor, Parawattai, earlier. It took a year, basically. It took me a year to get an appointment with this doctor. And it was definitely worth the wait. If you have EM, I would recommend going to see this physician 100%. And honestly, I haven't listened. I don't remember how much I talked about this before, but going to see him was absolutely worth it. In that year that I was waiting to see him, I became very ill and my health just continued to decline. And as many of you know, I babysit my granddaughter who is, you know, now a preschooler. And from the, you know, the minute she went home, I was asleep on the couch. Didn't matter if it was, you know, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, five, I was asleep on the couch. I was just exhausted. I was waking up with cotton mouth in the morning, constantly running humidifiers because my skin was just so dry, getting bloody noses. It was just the exhaustion, and actually weight gain, contrary to what other people think, which, I mean, weight loss is more common with type 1 on new onset, but, sorry about that. Hit the microphone. See, I'm rusty, but I'd been very sick. So I took the insulin and I was like, well, this is probably placebo effect. The doctor started me on 2 units of Lantus. And, you know, I was like, this is probably placebo effect. There's no way that I already feel this much better. So the next day, you know, they just walked this dosage up over a period of days. And I felt like a brand new person. I was just so much better compared to, you know, how it had been. During that 1 year wait, I had developed such horrible muscle pain and joint pain and brain fog and issues with my ligaments and tendons. My doctor thought, you know, maybe it was like a really bad fibro flare or a psoriatic arthritis flare. I mean, nobody really knew what was going on. I did, one resident, you know, diagnosed me with type 2 diabetes, and the director of the program or the head of the department said, no, she's weird. Let's test her. Let's test her for type 1. Sure enough, that's what I have. So this is just a long-winded way of saying that I've been pretty sick this past year. And since starting insulin, I feel a lot better. I initially lost 50 pounds. I gained 10 of that back. But my diet was, you know, I was told to lose weight immediately. Just period. Just lose weight immediately. Because, you know, I'm not thin, okay? But that is, yeah, that's where I was at. So now that I'm on insulin, my pain has decreased quite a bit. I can tell when I have had a lot of sugar. The other diagnosis that came out of all of this testing was that I have small fibroneuropathy, which explains, you know, a lot of my other symptoms. And I have to keep my sugar under control or that neuropathy is going to progress. And I, for one, don't want to lose my vision or my limbs. So I am doing my best to keep my sugars where they need to be. Prior to my starting insulin, my feet would hurt so bad. I couldn't even tolerate covers being over the top of them. And my feet were so swollen, I could not wear regular shoes. I would start out in the morning with one pair of shoes or house shoes. And then if I left the house, I had to have a backup pair of shoes because my feet would invariably, you know, get significantly bigger in size as the day progressed. So really, honestly, all of those symptoms have improved significantly. I do still have a lot of issues with fatigue, and I usually take, I mean, honestly, I have about one day a week where I sleep, and you know, that's just the reality of my life. Being disabled is not for the weak by any stretch of the imagination. So that is where I have been, is trying to get as healthy as I can and to learn about this new disease that I did not want. But who asks for or wants a disease when you think about it? Nobody that I know of. So, yeah, that is where I have been. Since starting the insulin, I have been working out very consistently. I just found myself, you know, putting off exercise because I thought it had to be some big, elaborate, get in the car, go to the gym, or put your shoes on and go outside. You know, I thought it had to be something intense. And then one day I saw something on TikTok of, it was this man doing this one move over and over again. And he said, if you do this for 20 minutes or no, he said 200 times. If you do this 200 times a day, you'll see a difference in 30 days. And I was like, well, it had never occurred to me to just do the same thing over and over again, you know, in my kitchen. So, you know, turned my Apple Watch on to work out mixed cardio. And I started doing this. I, you know, I wish I could, you know, show you what it is, but just, you know, just kind of a crazy move where you step to the side as you're, see, I'm doing it right now, like you could see it, but you step to the side and swing your arms over your head and back. So that's kind of like making a cursive S, I guess. So I started doing that 200 times, and then I realized, well, you know, I can do it for 12 minutes, 15 minutes. And sometimes I will even do it for just 4 minutes or 5 minutes and just, you know, stack it up during the day. Well, then I discovered, well, you know, I can do just a couple other simple things. So, you know, if I don't want to go for a walk, you know, it's winter in Nebraska. If I don't want to, you know, put on gym shoes or, you know, I just dance in my kitchen, and I've actually noticed a significant improvement in my fitness. I am also doing yoga, and I know everybody with a chronic illness has been told, oh, just do yoga. Well, I'm not here to push yoga. I'm just saying that yoga has helped me significantly. And I mean, I had done yoga in the past, and then as I had, you know, severe pain and ligament issues and issues with my joints, I stopped, you know, doing it for a while, because when your body is, you know, when you're having a psoriatic arthritis flare, your body is fairly delicate. So you have to be careful how much stretching and whatnot you do. I'm not a doctor. Always make sure you talk to your doctor before doing anything whatsoever. So that is pretty much that. And that's what I've been doing. And I continue to work on learning how to live with type 1 diabetes. The holidays, my birthday is November 15th. And I love carrot cake. And yeah, so my sugar was pretty high. I only use long acting insulin. I do not do meal coverage right now, which actually is fine with me, because I'm afraid if I had meal coverage, I would binge and then just cover, you know, for it. So having to watch what I eat and then, you know, is actually a lot better for me. So that I, you know, don't eat the whole carrot cake as much as I would like to sometimes. That's, you know, then Thanksgiving, I made all the food at Thanksgiving, and I do brisket, turkey, spoon bread, green bean casserole, macaroni and cheese, stuffing, greens, all of those good things. I decided that my biggest priority was spoon bread. And so, you know, I just did my proteins and my spoon bread. Cause that's what I really wanted. I make this corn spoon bread and I love it. So it's all just learning, and perhaps this is boring, I don't know, but this is where I am right now. We are in Hanukkah. Tonight is the second night of Hanukkah. And I would really like sufgan ayot, which is a jelly donut. I woke up this morning thinking, oh, jelly donut, sufgan ayot, really would love one. I don't know that I'm going to have one, because I don't know that I can actually just eat half of a one. It's so weird, because the rest of the year I really don't want anything to do with a jelly donut. Honestly, I love donuts. Don't get me wrong. I am a donut eating fool. But this morning I was like, oh, I want a donut. I will probably indulge myself and go get a Winchell's jelly-filled donut at some point in the next few days. But we're just enjoying celebrating Hanukkah with the family, lighting the candles, saying the prayers, all of those kinds of things. Lighting the lights, you know, it's really meaningful to us. And it's something that we enjoy doing as a family, even though I'm the only Jewish one in the house. So that's fine. They're, you know, they still like to participate and eat the latkes and light the candles. So latkes are absolutely amazing. I had my first latkes in a year last night. So I will be making some latkes this week. And then Christmas, I do the Christmas meal. And because my mom has, you know, serious health issues, so I do all the holidays now, which is, you know, kind of bittersweet. But of course there will be brisket for Christmas and, you know, the traditional stuff. So having type 1 diabetes, it's just, it affects everything. But you know, I'm just trying to keep on keeping on, you know. I do have a continuous glucose monitor, which is a really good thing. I have had some dangerously low sugars on a couple occasions. Because with type 1 in adults, the pancreas is still occasionally giving out insulin. It's just like My pancreas does what it wants to do when it wants to do. And 97% of the time, it is making zero insulin. And then the other 3% of the time, it's just like, surprise, surprise. And, you know, gives me a little bit of insulin that I don't want because I've already given it to myself. So, yeah, having a CGM, I have the Dexcom 7. And I really like it. It's just very strange. You know, I'm used to having something, a device on my body, all, you know, at all times now. But it was very weird to get used to it first. I'm like, this thing is stuck to me. I don't know how I feel about it, but I like it. I don't have to poke my fingers often. My family gets alerts in case I sleep through mine for a low, you know, for a low sugar. So I don't know. I would say that I'm doing pretty well. I definitely missed doing the podcast. I just, you know, I had to focus on absolute necessities for the past little over a year. But I got my Spotify Wrapped a few days ago and saw that even though I haven't been putting out new episodes, the podcast has continued to be popular and has, you know, continued to grow even in my absence. Now, hopefully, me putting out new episodes won't mean that it's going to, you know, stop growing. But yeah, I appreciate everybody listening, and I hope that you'll follow along for this, you know, season that I'm going to be doing. Starting out with, now that we're all caught up, we're going to talk a lot about gardening, because gardening is where it's at. Gardening is what I'm good at. I'm a gardener, and that's the gardening bubby. Actually, you can follow me and pay, you know, get a glimpse at kind of my garden style and the gardens that I do on Instagram at Bubby's_Victory Gardens. I think it's Bubby's_Victory_Gardens. I will have to double check. Nothing like trying to give out the information when I don't have it, readily at hand. Kind of silly, but that's okay. We'll get it to you in the next episode. I hope you guys will follow along and share with your friends. Thanks, you guys, for, you know, keeping this going while I was sick and while I was gone, and I really appreciate it. I will see you in the next episode. Bicycle.